want to talk about the Magi, wise men, and it isn't Christmas. The topic of our message is that wise men worship. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Hypocritical old rascal. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, not his mother. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, to our curious minds, the first questions are, who were these men? Where did they come from? What kind of a star was that that moved? And if we're not careful, curiosity will rob us of instruction. Who were the wise men? We're not really sure. And the Bible doesn't say there were three. I'm sorry to spoil your little Christmas song. Doesn't say anything about them being three. In fact, some tradition says there were 14 of them. But these wise men who came were called Magi, and they doubtless came from Persia. And these were men who studied all the sacred books, and they also were students of astronomy, students of the heavens, and had undoubtedly read Balaam's prophecy about the star of Jacob. And when, as they scanned the heavens, they saw this unusual light, and that's what I'm going to call it, which appeared as a star, somehow they related it to the birth of Christ. The Bible doesn't tell us how. The only inference we have is that when they were about to go back from Bethlehem, they were warned in a dream from God not to go back to Herod, and they returned home another way. Therefore, by inference, we would draw that when they saw this star in their home country of Persia, they also had a divine intimation that this was the star heralding the birth of the King of the Jews. In any case, they started out on their journey to find the King of the Jews. What was the star? I don't know what the star was either, nor does anyone else. There have been calculated guesses. The encyclopedias offer us some information. But I rather think it was a supernatural light, like the Shekinah glory. Or as one man has said, it was a torch in the hand of an angel. Whatever it was a divine light that supernaturally directed them. Point number one, wise men recognize the supernatural. It wasn't every wise man in Persia. It wasn't every wise man around the world that recognized the supernatural life. But these wise men did, and our instruction starts with that point. wise men, really wise men, recognize the supernatural. We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. We have seen this supernatural thing. Had they been watching for it? Probably they had. And they had seen it, and they recognized it as a supernatural thing. Wise man, recognize the supernatural. Remember Paul writing to the Corinthians? And he said, had the princes of this world really known, they would not have killed the Lord of glory. But they weren't really wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And then he goes on to say that the natural man in all his wisdom, the natural man knoweth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's only the spiritually wise who recognize the supernatural. Wise men recognize the supernatural. It is always a supernatural revelation that brings us to Christ. A supernatural word, a rhema, a word from God, something that has the supernatural in it. A wise man recognizes God in his word and in his spirit. This is wisdom, to know God, recognize the supernatural. And remember this, dear people. Everything that God does is the Lord's work. It's God working with us, as we found out this morning. Let's not settle for human wisdom, but let us be watching for the supernatural star that will direct us to the purpose of God. The next thing is, wise men pursue the supernatural. They came from the east. They got up. They moved out. They went after it. They didn't sit down and discuss it. They didn't give it a scientific tabulation. They didn't sit down and say, what do you think it is? How would you describe it? They did something about it. They got up and followed it. At considerable cost. And I'm going to talk to you a moment about cost. The journey to Christ and worship is costly. It's going to cost you something. I remember what it cost my parents. I remember what it cost my father. He was the secretary treasurer of the church. My mother was prominent in the church. And it cost them most of their friends for my father and my mother to join the lowly holy rollers. It cost them. To make their journey to the supernatural cost them. And there is more light to break from God's word. There is more supernatural to come, and it's going to cost. I'm not going to get up here and tell you it's going to be easy. It's going to cost you. Can you imagine those wise men way back there in Persia, and they saw the star, and they said, that's it. Let's follow it. They said, now what's it going to cost us? We'll probably be gone a couple of years. It's going to cost us on the journey. It's going to cost us in every way. It's going to cost us lodging along the road. We don't know what we're going to find, and we're going to be open to danger on the road, and there are going to be robbers and thieves lurking along the highways of the caravansary, and it's going to cost us. But they set out and they pursued the supernatural no matter what it costs. It's going to cost, my friends. Every bit of supernatural you embrace, it costs. If I were to strip myself of the supernatural this morning, every supernatural thing I believe in, if I were to delete it, it would cost me that much less, and I would regain my friends. But it's costly. But it's worth it. And it's going to cost you to pursue the supernatural. But they got up and they went and followed the star. I'm all for following the star. How many want to follow the star? Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow. take your pen and sign it. And what you said, anywhere he leads me, sign it. I dare you. I don't know where that star's going to take me, says one wise man. Where's it going to take me? The other wise man said, I don't know either. But at the end of the journey, we'll find the King of the Jews. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to follow the star, because at the end of that star is the fullness of Christ. The glory of God in the body of Jesus is at the end of the star. At the end of this supernatural road is the manifestation of the glory of God in all the fullness of the body of Jesus, declaring the power of God to a wondering world. Hallelujah! We'll follow this star. So they followed the star. I don't know how far they came. I don't know anything about the journey, but they came. And where did they come? Where did they come to? Well, they came to the place where they thought they should find information. They came to the capital city. They came to Jerusalem. And they walked the streets of Jerusalem, these wise men who were great leaders from their country. And immediately they arrived, the porter at the gate directed them to the king's palace. And as they walked along, they probably said, walking along the street, do you know anything about the birth of the King of the Jews? So they got to the palace, these regal men from the Orient, and they were ushered into the presence of Herod. This old, crotchety, crafty, shrewd, apostate Jew, this backslidden old rascal Herod, who later on was to be eaten by worms. And they were ushered into his presence, and they bowed, and they said, we have come to see him who is King of the Jews, for we have followed his star. And the old king's heart did a couple of flips, because he was the King of the Jews. And if there was another King of the Jews, he was in trouble. And he was in trouble, because there was another King of the Jews. Hallelujah. And every shrewd, crafty old king's in trouble, because the king who is the real king of the praised people is the one who will sit ultimately on the throne. Hallelujah. But they came to the very place where they should have got information, and they didn't get any. And the Bible says Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And so we go to the very place where we ought to get information about the supernatural. We go to the great high steeple churches and we say, do you know where he is, the supernatural one? Do you know anything about tongues, healing and prophecy, flowing of the Spirit, worship and praise? We go where we ought to get information and we don't get any. In fact, the kings of these ecclesiastical mausoleums feel that they are being threatened should there be that thing which they are inquired about. If this barn out here on the pasture, this nondescript architectural monstrosity that we're gathered in this morning, about which there is nothing too attractive to the eye, why is it here? Why is it here? It is the stable that houses the King of the Jews. There was no place for him. Where should Jesus have been born? He should have been born in the palace of the governor in Jerusalem. He should have been born in one of the beautifully appointed bedrooms of Herod's capacious and royally appointed premises. He should have been heralded with trumpets and fanfare and banners and parades. He should have. But the place where he should have been welcomed, he was not welcome. He was born in a stable. I don't mind being in a stable if Jesus is there. I don't mind a tent or an old grove of trees or a farmer's barn, and I've been in all of them and had the greatest times of my life. You can have your satin-covered pews and your spires pointing to heaven with crooked, hypocritical fingers and your stained-glass windows and all the rest of it. But if Jesus isn't there, what good is it? You can have your palaces with your shrewd, cunning Herods. Well, what good are they if righteousness doesn't reign? For the Bible says that the power of a king is righteousness. And that's why he who is the real king reigns in righteousness. How distressing to find that those who should direct us to Christ are not interested. But they didn't stop with Herod. Herod called the scribes in. And then came these long bearded scholars into the presence of the king, and they bowed and said, "Long live the king." And he said, "Thank you a lot. Now, these fellows want to know, where is the king of the Jews to be born?" "Oh," they said, "we can tell you. It's right over here. You name it. He's to be born in Bethlehem of Judea." "Oh, you know it." They knew. But did they go with the wise man? No. They went right back, sat down in their room and started to read their book. All kinds of people around know what God wants to do, and they know what God's going to do, but they won't get up and know. Did the scribes go with them? These reverends, these doctors of divinity, these holy men of a defunct religion, did they get up and go? You say, "Why do you talk like that?" "I'm talking like that because Jeremiah said things have to be pulled up before they can be built up. And God is going to tear up this thing that is hoodwinking people and keeping people from the truth." The scribes, and Jesus said, the scribes and the Pharisees have got the keys. They won't use them themselves. They won't let anybody else in. Those scribes knew where Jesus was to be born. But did they go with the wise men? No, they didn't go with them. They went right back to the same old rut, the same old routine. Some of us are concerned this morning because our religious friends won't go with us. They know the way, but they won't go. Of course they won't go. They'll lose their job. They'll lose their prestige. They'll lose their pay. They'll lose their place in society. Who gives a hoot for it if at the end of the road is Christ? Goodbye to my place in society. Goodbye to my prestige. Goodbye to my popularity. Goodbye to the whole thing if in making my journey to Bethlehem I find at the end of the road the thing that I'm looking for. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! You see, the wise men, or the scribes, gave the wise men the Logos, but they rejected the Rhema. They gave the wise men the general information, but they rejected the specific information. They rejected the star, the supernatural. Some said, "Oh, I believe in tongues. I believe in the early church they had tongues." "Oh, yes, I believe in it, in a general way." "Ah, but it's happening today. Stars moving today. The supernatural moving now. Get in on what God is doing now." And so they told them about it, and they persisted. And verse 9 tells us, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them," kept on moving. The star always is wenting. There's no stopping still. Star's always going. Oh, there's danger here. Are you listening? There's danger here. They could have stopped in Jerusalem. They could have got hung up on the rain. But the star keeps moving. Star's always on the move. See, the problem is you settle down somewhere and don't keep going. Somebody said, "Oh, I'm all for going on with God." Well, I hope so. That star's going to take you through some rough country. Yes, sir. So you follow the star. No matter what the country's like, just keep following the star. Keep following the supernatural glory of God and the living word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Keep right on going. If you stop anywhere along the road, you might as well not have left home. Should have stayed back there in Persia. So keep going. Don't stop until you come to the fullness of Christ. How many know what I'm talking about? Wise men persist in following the star. They combine the Logos and the Rhema. And they came to the place. Wise men find true joy when they saw the star. What did they do? They rejoiced with joy exceedingly. Hallelujah. They rejoiced at the sight of the star before they ever saw the child. That's what we do. We rejoice in the Word. We haven't seen the fullness of it yet. Oh, we get happy about it. Hallelujah. We sing, there never was a day like this day. This is a oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We rejoice in the Word with exceeding joy. Wise men find the true joy. There is no real joy anywhere outside of the supernatural Word and work of God, dear friends. There is no real joy. Now, come on. Come on. Every one of you will admit this morning that when you start to get away from the flow of God in your life, you start to get miserable. The only place of true joy is the flow in God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Well, we got to do that all the time. You got any better ideas? I tell you, I'd far rather see people flowing in God than flowing in some of the things I see them flowing in. Better to flow in God than flow in gossip. Better to flow in God than flow in carnality. Better to flow in God than flow in covetousness. Isn't it? What are the alternatives? They're not so good. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will flow in God. All right. Wise men find the true joy. Wise men see Jesus and worship Him. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. You can't see the fullness of Christ unless you follow the supernatural star, the living Word of God. Christ will be a matter of history to you. He'll be somebody that was born 2,000 years ago, but He won't be the living, present Christ of corporate experience. The Christ I'm talking about is the Christ that is made up of the many members, and we will only come to that Christ as we follow the star. We'll only come to the fullness of Christ as we follow the supernatural. God is bringing us to something we've never seen before. And when you get to Him, you know what you'll do? You'll worship. When you really get to Christ, you'll worship. Well, now, what should they do next? They took an offering. Hallelujah! I just knew it would be in there somewhere. Now, wonderful. Some said, so far it's been wonderful. Oh, I'm following the star. I'm coming to worship. Well, time for the offering. It says they opened their treasuries and gave gifts. And when you get to Christ and Christ gets to you and you come into His presence and you worship Him, the result is that you will open up your treasuries. Somebody said, up until now, he's been spiritual. Suddenly, he goes carnal on it. No, this is still spiritual. This is still spiritual. I am very sincere about what I'm saying about covenant. I practice it myself, or I wouldn't tell it to you. When you and I are walking in covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, it involves every area of our lives, and you cannot leave your pocketbook out. Your treasure must be involved. Worshiping Christ will mean you'll open your treasure. Paul said to the Philippians, you gave first of all yourselves. He said, here, Lord, take it all. Wise men are practical in worship. They open their treasures. Wise men communicate. One more thing. Please listen to this very carefully. It could be the most important point to us right here. We all believe in worship, most of us here this morning. As far as I'm concerned, it's been following the supernatural that's brought me here. Somebody said to me last week over the phone, I said, Brother Baxter, you sure came. I said, thank God. They sounded like they were grumbling. I know why they said it. They don't like the fact that I stand up here in Christian Center and lead you for 30 minutes in worship. They remember other days when I would have considered that a bit much. That disturbs them. Doesn't disturb me. The supernatural, I wouldn't go back for all the tea in China. I wouldn't go back to be a sedate evangelical for everything in the world. If you stop praising God, I'll go out and put up a pile of stones and lay hands on them and we'll shout in the middle of the parking lot. I'm going to praise God, God helping me until the day I draw my last breath. If God's ever done anything for me, He's given birth to worship and praise in myself. I'm going to be shouting hallelujah as long as I live. God helping me. But now we come to the last point that I want to make. Wise men protect the Christ. Verse 12. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. Why? Had they gone back and told Herod where Jesus was, he would have killed Jesus. Look, if you're in this move of God, you protect it. Now, I can't stop people from coming in here and spying out our liberty. I can't stop some squeezed up little persimmon from coming from a dried up church and sitting in here and going back and telling what a bunch of fanatics we are. And they do it. And there's no acrimony in that. That's just the name that did it. Was Paul that came down to spy out our liberty. There's always somebody coming to spy. You can watch him. You see him sitting there, he's slumped down on the seat watching. The next week you get 3 or 4 phone calls. You know that little stool pigeon's gone back and told everything he saw. I hope he comes back when we're really bad. Only thing worries me when I see some of those people in the meeting is that usually it's a mild meeting. You know, we only worship for 20 minutes. I wish they'd come back sometime when we're up for an hour. They'd probably get so tired they couldn't remember what they saw. Hallelujah. Wise men protect the Christ, not just the Jesus that we love, but the Christ body. We protect one another. We protect what God is good. And shame on you if you give any cause by word or action to bring disrepute on what God is doing. I have a red-headed sister. Some of you know her. When we were kids, she's next to me, 5 years younger than I. When we were kids, we always had to do the dishes, wash the dishes. And, she was a shrewd one. If you know something, at school, you know, I guess it's still the same. We all had our gangs. I had my gang and the other, I led a gang of boys. One, at recess time, the boys all played on one side of the school and the girls all played on another. And one recess, for some reason or another gang caught me without my gang. And they were giving me the business. They were really stomping me. I was down on the ground. They were working me over. And word got around via the grapevine to the girl's side. And my sister was told, they're beating up on your brother. And around the corner of the school, she came with that beautiful red hair flaring out in the wind. Her skirts above her knees, her eyes just popping. Her little freckled face was all flushed. She come around there like a steam engine. And I looked through the maze of legs and I could see her coming around. I said, oh. Man, you never saw it. There were legs and arms and teeth and hands and everything flying everywhere. And when it was all over, she was standing over me and I could see the bodies of the slaves. And she was standing over me and she said, did they hurt you, dear? She said, what are you saying? Well, I'm just saying this. That in here, you and I may have some differences. But out there, won't you talk about my brother? Don't you talk about my sister. I want to fuss with them. I'll fuss with them, but you stay out of our family. My sister. My brother. I protect you. You protect me. We protect the Christ. We don't go washing our linen in front of the world. We don't go telling the world about our family squabbles. We got any squabbles in here? We'll settle them in here. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, what's the matter with you people taking your problems to pagan judges? Why, the simplest believer in the Corinthian church could settle it. Wise men protect the Christ. God's doing something in Christian Center. And I don't want to close this on a negative note, but woe betide the man or the woman who plays the Judas and betrays the Christ to his enemies. We will go back another way. We will not return to Herod. We will protect what God is doing. Wise men worship. Wise men follow the star. Wise men persist in the journey, whatever the cost. When wise men come to the end of the road, they drop in his presence and worship and open their treasures and vow that they will protect him and never, never allow anybody to reach him to hurt him. How many love him this morning? How many want to be wise men? Shall we make the journey? Shall we follow the star? All right. Let's sing the Lord's Prayer as we're closing this morning. Oh, let's believe God for great things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Hallelujah. Shall we stand, our Father? Hallelujah. Our Father, who is God in heaven, thy kingdom come, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do now commit and command unto thee this people over which thou hast made us overseers. O God, watch over each of them. The babes in arms, may they be nurtured in God. The little ones that gather as vines around the knees of their parents, may they grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The young man and the young woman stepping over the threshold of adolescence. The young couples building their home. The mothers and the fathers. And our dear aged one, oh God, hold firmly in thy love these thy children in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.
This concludes the message by Ern Baxter.